Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world.
When you are sick, or when you are broke, when you are lonely, when you don't have no money, when you don't know how your rent's going to be paid, when you don't know how your car note's going to be paid, when you don't know where you're going to get some money for Christmas, read the guidebook. And when you get to the scripture says, he'll supply all of your need, don't talk to your friends. Tell him, you promised me you're going to supply my need. Now I need my rent paid. I need some money from somewhere. Help me to go and get it.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. Dr. Williams titles this powerful message, God is More Than Enough. And if you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 down through 44. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to get blessed by our mass choir, and immediately following their serenade, we're going to dive right into this week's lesson with Dr. Williams.
I want to talk about today, friends, and as I said before, we'll read the verses as I go. There's a name for it, but I don't want to get into that. I want to talk about today, God is more than enough. Amen. He's more than enough. You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'm leaving it all right here. You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. But you created me to worship daily. So I'm going to leave it all right here. God is more than enough. Now in the world in which we live, there's always someone trying to introduce to me some new God or some new religion. They're trying to introduce that to me. But church, I want you to hear this today, and if I don't get any further, remember this. If I've walked with God all of these years, what is it that I need new? All I need is just over and over the refilling. Refilling of the Holy Spirit. If there had been a new religion, then God would have let Jesus introduce it to us. Amen. Yes. I don't care what you hear and what they tell you, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is. Not somebody else, Jesus is. And when it is all over, if you want to see God, you're going to have to go by Jesus. Amen. God is more than enough. I remember when I was in Chicago, someone attacked me because I was making good money and I was paying my tithes. And this gentleman, educated man, well, I couldn't say it. Well, anyway, he had got a degree from college, from the university. But that doesn't mean he's educated. Some of the most, and then I'll leave that one alone. But he said to me, you mean to tell me you give all of that money to the church? I'll tell you what I said to him, what I'll tell you what I said to him. I said to him, How did you get up this morning? He said, I set my clock every morning. I said, see, I don't have to set it. I wake up automatic every morning at 3:15 because I have to leave home at 4:30. I said, you know why I wake up? Because the alarm clock's inside of me. And I said to him, the last year, you've been working on 3 jobs and haven't been able to keep any of them. I'm working on 1 job ever since you've known me, and every 6 months, I get a raise plus an envelope under the table. You missed the envelope under the table. So I'm going to keep this one God I have. And I'm going to give God what he asked me for, is tithes and offerings. Yeah. And he suffered so much. He didn't have to. He didn't know that God is enough. Whatever you need, I don't care what it is, he'll supply it.
Amen. Preach,
Pastor. Amen. I'm going to give you a short testimony. I ran into some trouble financially because of sickness. And I had to pay X number of dollars to 2 doctors and the hospital. I did not fret. I prayed. I said, Lord, you know I'm going to get behind. Just open up a door. I will not some lazy people who say they are Christians. I went to work on Monday and signed my name on the card where you on the board if you can work this week overtime.
Right. Amen.
I signed up how many hours I was available.
Right.
So I worked that week 68 hours with overtime. But that's not all. So when the lady brought me my check, they passed out the check. She brought me my 40-hour week check. She said, this is for you, Bill. Then she said, wait, I got your overtime check. My overtime check superseded my regular check. So I said, did you make a mistake? She said, no. She said, the manager said to give you extra because you worked overtime and didn't complain.
Amen.
You see, I don't know how, I'm not like a lot of you all, I don't know how God makes a way. I just know when there is a way need to be made. He will make a way. Amen. I said again, amen. Many of you are walking with a God, or you're talking about a God that you're not walking with. You're talking about it. You know all kinds of stuff. Well, God is, and I love God, and God. You're talking about. Talking about God is a waste of your time if you're not trying to get to know him. Amen. Then in the middle of that, and me running short, and I talked to Dr. Guess, I'll never forget her name. She didn't even believe in, she didn't want to talk about this God business. I said to her, she said, what I want to do for you, I told you this before, I got some paperwork I want you to fill out. You are eligible for welfare. Now here I'm in my 20s, first 20s. You are eligible. I said, oh, no, I can't do that. She said, what you mean you can't do it? You are eligible. I said, my parents would ask me had I done everything I could do. Everything. Before I asked anybody. See, let me tell you all something. So you don't forget this. So I called my parents to get $5,000 or $6,000 to borrow from them. I don't know where they had it or not. That wasn't my business. So the boss of the house, and you know you women understand this, my mother said, have you asked around with your brothers to help you? I said, no. She said, well, you go back and get all of the people that you know in your family to try to help you. And if you can't get it, then you call us back. You would say that she was mean. No, she was right, making me responsible for my responsibilities. So I first asked the doctor, how can I pay $18,000? You don't know anything about this. $18,000 60 years ago was a lot of money. The doctor said to me, you make an arrangement how much you can pay a month on my bill, and I'm going to deduct $2,000 from the bill. Hallelujah. Come here, lights, and say amen. Amen. I said, he's all we need. God is more than enough. And so I had 5 years to pay both doctors in the hospital, and I got it all taken care of within 1 year.
Amen.
And then we finished the test, and then filed my income tax. And one of your brothers, Tommy, he cussed me out and said that I was trying to beat IRS. And he said, we're going to audit you. I said, fine. So he audited me. I had fixed my taxes. I was going to get $2,900 back. But be careful with your mouth. So he's calling me names. I'm trying to cheat the government. Fine. And he didn't know me, though, really. And so they had me audited. But when they got to auditing me, Curtis, I didn't get the $2,900. I got $4,000 and something. You're not listening. And then I said to him, I said, now I'm going to file a complaint against you. And I says, I have two choices. File a complaint or file the other one and get you fired. I can get you fired in 10 minutes. And I was going to the office to file a complaint to get him fired. I'm telling you, God is enough. And just as I got close to the door where I'm supposed to go in and file the complaint, it's just like somebody caught me. Yes, said, no, don't get him fired, just file the complaint. I went in his office, I said, you call me names, and cheater, and tell me I did this, I know this is wrong. I know that. So I said, look at this, what you did. You gave me 29 plus, I got 40 something. 100. I said, and you're going to be off for a while and not going to get a dime. I said, God is more. But you can't talk it. You can't talk it. You can talk all you want to about God. I listen very careful when the choir or solos been singing. We sing all these sweet songs and kind songs. Lifts us up. We don't bit more believe in God and than a monkey in a sky. We have to learn what you sing about, you believe it.
You have to. Yes, Lord. Yeah.
Amen. I just was walking around clapping my hand and thanking the Lord, you got me out of debt, and I thought I was going to be in debt for at least 3 years. Before the year was gone, I was out. And since some of the young adults and youth don't get it, and I am black, but God is not no color.
Right.
I'm one of his children. I trust him and I believe and I walk on what I believe. Those of you who know me, you know that. And let's move here today. Listen to what he says. In the book of Mark, the sixth chapter, I'm in verse number 30, And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. That's the apostles. Like deacons here, same thing. Mark 6:31 says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure or no time so much as to eat. That's not God's will. God never rushing you so you don't have time to eat. Never. 32nd verse, he says, and they departed into the desert place by ship privately. That's what the Bible says. 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them and came together unto him. They still trying to keep up and follow Jesus. You don't have to try to keep up with him. He's in you. Just talk to him. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people, or many people, one translation, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now, church, you might not deal with this, but always the Holy Spirit is teaching you something. Are you listening to learn what it is? He's teaching you something. When are you going to listen to him? All right, Dr. Jett said to me about this money paying her. She said, I never met a young man like you with so much faith. I said, what I believe is what I pray. She said, because that's why I knocked off the extra money that I'm giving you. She was doing it as the obeying the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
I didn't know her. I just knew she was a doctor. She wasn't going to give me that kind of money. But you see, God, let me help you here.
Yes, sir.
Stand over here, brother. Stand over here. You stand over here. He stained you. He won't pay his tithes. He won't bless God. This is your car here. Step this way. He stepped near his car, and it won't crank. Then he'd go back and say, I don't know what's wrong with my car. Then he'll come back, and it'll crank. Listen carefully. Then when he get ready to go somewhere, it'll die, and he can't crank it. You hear what I'm saying? Thank you. Now, I was on 65th. Some of you passed by and stopped trying to help me. Years ago, I was on 65th, and my car stopped. Just stopped. I don't know nothing about no cars. So it wouldn't crank. Tommy, a truck came behind me. I didn't know him from Adam. This man gets out of the truck, and he said, sir, what seemed to be wrong? I said, I don't know. I don't know anything about cars. He said, well, if you get out, let me try. I know a lot about cars. He got in my car, and he told me, so what was wrong with it? He said, you need to take it to the shop. I said, well, I called them to tow it. He said, do you have to pay them? I said, yes. He said, well, I can pull you, whatever that meant, in a car. I said, no, I'll call a tow truck. They'll tow it into the shop. When I got to the shop, the man that I knew there was kind, I said to him, the warranty is off. I'm just giving you a testimony.
Tell it.
And he said, but wait a minute. He said, let me look. I don't know what he did, and I didn't ask him because I'm not that nosy. He went through some papers, and he finally he said, you don't know. He said, you have a few days left. He said, so you don't have to pay nothing.
Amen.
I got, and I had a toll business, AA, whatever you call it. I'm trying to teach you that God is enough. Are you trusting him for being enough? Are you? Are you trusting him? If not, quit fooling yourself. He's not going to make you do nothing. That'll violate your freedom. God can't make you do nothing unless he wants you to do it. But friends, he's enough. Amen. We'll move on. Listen. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and how the time is far past. Otherwise, we have tried what you said, Jesus, but that's not going to work, and it's not working. Now, these are disciples talking to the master. 36, he says, Jesus sent them away that they may go into the country round about and into the village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Mark 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread and give them to eat? 38, he says unto them, Jesus, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Go and see. What he says, go and do something. And when they knew, they saw 5 loaves of bread, small ones, and 5 fish. Just pray with me, I'll get there. 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down. And St. Paul, this is for you. Sit down by companies upon the green grass. Mark verse 40, and they sat down, and listen what he said. In ranks by hundreds and by 50. Now, if they wouldn't have sit down, they wouldn't have got nothing to eat. So your stubbornness doesn't get you nowhere.
Amen.
When you want to be blessed, don't be stubborn. Amen. Where is Quincy? Sometimes I call Quincy on Friday. Tell her I want you to sing this on Sunday. And some of you say, well, he didn't give me enough time. She's been singing since she was 10. How much time she need? You missed it. And Quincy said, you see, when you are listening to God, the Holy Spirit will not give you nothing that you can't have.
Right.
He's not going to do that. He's not in the business of embarrassing you. Amen. Verse 39, and he commanded them to make all sat down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks. What is by hundreds and by 50. Now, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. That's why I keep telling you, everything you receive, you ought to thank God for it. And if you thank God, it's sinful.
Amen. Amen.
Anything you can thank God for, leave it alone. Because it is not biblical. Okay, listen carefully. Looked up to heaven and blessed it and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. Now, that's another thing for churches. He gave it, after he broke it, he gave it to the disciples. He set before them, and two fishes divided in among them all. The disciples had to go then and serve it. You who don't want to be, all of you all in here, all of you big shots, all of you master's degrees, all of you MAs, and all of them the master nothing, all of that goes together. You have not reached the point in your life that you are too cute, too fine, too everything, that you can't do what God assigned for you to do.
Amen.
Amen. You say, and this is going to shock you. This is going to shock you. I like to pick on Dale because I like him. And I can outrun him with a crippled leg. And so what happened is, listen careful. Listen careful. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Virginia, I'm sorry. When Virginia joined St. Paul, she became under Pastor Williams. And if she give me a bad time, she's giving God a bad time. No, you're not going to do it. I'm just using you as an example. God would have lost his mind to put a man as a pastor in the church and you run over him.
Right.
What kind of God would he be? God got some slapping power. I don't know if you all know that, but he got some slapping power. You trip and fall, you say, I don't know what happened. I know what happened. He's trying to slap some sense into you.
Yeah.
So what we want to do, listen to him. Amen. Like the man said, I don't have to listen to Pastor William. He's dead now. You missed it. He didn't listen, but he's dead. I think I'm alive. You feel me? Don't get ahead of God. God is enough.
Right.
Utilize what you have.
Good word. Yeah. Amen.
You women who have husbands that you can't boss. Leave him alone. You don't in your license of marrying him is not in there. Now you the boss. In fact, if you want to know what's in there, it's in there. Is you? It says, are you to obey your husband? Obey means what? Do what you're told. I know you're going to cuss me out, but I'm going to still tell you. Now, when he said that, he's not talking about the obey you thing. That is not what he's talking about. You're talking about obey boss and you. He's not talking about that. He's talking about obey being, my friends, cooperative. Work with your spouse. As you can't work with him if you don't work with Christ. Amen. There's not a man in this building listening to me on the radio or on television. There's a man. No, I'm talking about a real man now. There's no man you can tell me if you're sweet ladies, that what did you call him? That booger will do anything. Anything. And Clark said,
amen.
But you got to work it. There's a such thing, working it. You have to work it. I said, you have to work it. And if you don't work it, the devil will work it for you. Amen. And so he says, friends, he says, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven. I said, and yes, God the blessed. And they did all eat and they were filled. Now listen careful now. Listen careful. And they took up after they ate all they wanted to. They took up 20 baskets full of fragments, which was called in our term leftover. That's a bread and fish. 44, And they that did eat of the loaves was about five. Now listen, church. There was about 5,000 men. Now let me tell you what I know. If you put 5,000 men out there in that parking lot and set them in 50s and 25s, and you're going to feed them, you're going to have to bring in trucks. But here's what he did. Here is the fish, the loaves, and here is the fish. The Bible said he break off the bread, give it to the disciples, and then he give them, break off the fish. Now, why is it that God could take five little ball of loaves and how many fish? Two. And feed 5,000 men. And if you had 5,000 men, you had that many or more children. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And women. Amen. They all got fed. And they had all of those bastards left. Right. You telling me God is not all we need?
Right. Yes, Pastor. Yeah.
He's all we need. Yes, and friends, when there was a need in the life of a child of God, God will often provide more than enough to meet it. His table is always overflowing. His cupbearer is never bare. He always has sufficient, my friends, to satisfy, no matter what it may be that you have need of. He's enough. Whether it be joy or peace or rest or assurance or grace or mercy, or many times he would always give an abundance of material blessings, as well as his passage of scripture well illustrated. He never runs short. Let me help you, your older people. In my upbringing, we used to go to people on the streets that I lived on. There was a number of elderly people, and they had a thing every Thursday they would give away food. And we used to go and pull a wagon and bring those elderly people's food to them. Now I remember on one occasion they ran out of cheese. The man said, just stand here. The truck would be in a few minutes. All of a sudden, you have a big truck come full of cheese. Never did they run out. You hear what I said? They always had enough to supply those people. They didn't have what you have, but they had all they needed. Amen. Amen. I was talking to a young man, he's 26 years old, and he was schooling me about whatever. And I said to him, I said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I forgot more than you have learned since you've been here.
Yes, sir.
And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, here's what I mean. You've been looking for a job 6 months, and I turned down more jobs than you have found. And the reason I got a job, I carried God with me.
Right.
Amen. Don't let your thinking override what you believe. I believe he's more than enough.
Yes, sir.
I believe that.
Yes.
And the reason I believe it is because I have walked with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I walk with it.
Yes, sir.
I walk with it. When I was got ready to sell my home, there was somebody was helping me buy it. Church bought a parsonage, and I tried to sell it. 2 weeks with a what you call those people, realtors, two of them, and they couldn't sell it. And so the lady, as a realtor, she said to me, she says, I'll tell you what you do. She says, put a sign in the middle of your yard and paint it different colors, and you'll get the attention. I put the sign up on Tuesday, and I sold it on Friday. If I'd have said no woman could tell me nothing, I'd have still been sitting over that house, been sitting there raving. She told me something, and I listened to her, and I sold my house. And Cuddy said, he's more than enough. Amen. Well, whether it be joy, I said, or peace, or rest, or assurance, a grace, a mercy, or many times he would also give an abundance of material blessings, as well as this passage of scripture, well illustrated. Verse 30, then the apostle gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. My friends, it's always good to give God a good report. Jesus not only, my friend, looking for a good report, but he's looking for you to give one, but also to receive further orders regarding what he wants you to do, and so the disciples did it. Are you listening? Amen. They had been directed to go out, the disciples, and preach the gospel, which they did. And as a result, they witnessed many sick being healed. These deacons here has the power to lead people to Christ. They have the power to pray for people. And it's in God's will, people will get healed. I hear you say, no deacon can do that. You don't know your Bible.
Amen.
It's in your Bible. And let me help you while you're criticizing. You can do it too. If the power that Jesus had in him is in you, if you utilize it.
Amen.
And many demons being cast out as they taught and priests, that's the disciples, that all men should repent for the remission of their sin. Also, they brought back the report that John the Baptist had been beheaded by the orders of Herod. No doubt that what they really had mixed emotions among them on this day. There was gladness because their mission had been successful, but there was also sorrow due to the death of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. How often life throws both at you, good times and mixed with bad times, success mixed with failure. Life would give that to all of us, blessings mixed with burden, victory mixed with defeat, joy mixed with sorrow, inspiration mixed with discouragement. How often, my friend, and support mixed with opposition. Seldom does one come without the other. But God would make sure that his grace would be sufficient. No matter what they come, your way, verse 31 says, and he, Jesus, said to them, come aside by yourself to a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Both the disciples and Jesus needed some rest. So Jesus advised them to go someplace away from the crowd so they could eat and relax somewhere and be alone. Now you wouldn't admit this, but I'll admit it for you, being alone. When you are burdened becomes too heavy to bear, when your body becomes weak and weary, when your heart breaks because of the death of a loved one, when you become anxious, frustrated, and stressed, when you are discouraged and feeling in despair, when you climb the steepest mountains and you can't get it through, God will take care of you. And praying, God knows when you have gone just about as far as you can go. He knows. And when you are at your wit's end, and that's when he wants to draw you aside so you can become rested and revived. Verse 32, so they departed to a desert place in the boat by themselves. Although alone with the Lord is a place, a renewal, restoration. And some are apparently afraid to enter such a place. For the Lord will sometimes pull back the curtain and let you see what's actually happening. Amen. This week, I was praying, and I mean really praying, and I thought I heard somebody walking. It disturbed me from praying. But what I did, when I thought I heard somebody walking, I said, devil, get out of here. I bind you with the power of Almighty God. Whatever your walking is, leave this place. I didn't hear it no more. And you said what you want to say. All I know, I didn't hear it. God is sufficient. He is enough. Friends, he will also remind you of the commitment you once made to him and to your church. Make commitments and break them is a violation of the scripture. You have to repent for that. Church, listen carefully. If necessary, you may even decline. You may even reject him. But he's not going nowhere. But there are times when you just have to get along with God. Friends and families are wonderful to have around you. They're wonderful. But every now and then, there's nothing compared to the solitude with the Lord. It is the place where your tears can be dried, where your burdens can be lifted. It's getting along with Jesus is a place where your nerves can be calmed, where your strength can be renewed, where your fear can be removed, where your doubt can be overcome, where your joy can be revived, where your vision can be regained, where your faith can be strengthened. Get along with him sometime. Tell him about your trouble. Tell him who you are and why you're not where you're supposed to be. Get along with him. Sit down and talk to him. Tell him now, the scripture said, he said, I'm putting in this scripture, me. I need your help. I need your support. I'm talking to God now. Friend, where your understanding can be gained when you get along with God. Amen. Where your thoughts can be organized when you get along with God. Listen careful. Where your priorities can be established. And when you get along with God, God is where your heart can be mended. Verse 33, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all cities, they arrived before they had come together. Coming together is strength. Coming together is power. Coming together is ways you can't make by yourself. Amen. The reputation of Jesus and his ministry was rapidly spreading to the nearby cities as well as to the surrounding countryside. And why wouldn't it? The only spiritual leader the people had ever known were the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees. Listen. And they were a different bunch to get along with, because they were so self-righteous and they wouldn't fellowship with just anybody. But Jesus was considerably different. For them, Jesus fellowship with sinners. Listen, church, the Pharisees and their friends wouldn't mingle with crowds and especially with sinners, but Jesus did. They were always hopping about the law, but Jesus was offering them mercy and grace. They ignored those who were sick and diseased, but Jesus was healing them all. They dodged those who were lepers, but Jesus reached out to those who were lepers. That's why I love him. He is enough. Jesus held them in high esteem and were proud. But church, listen carefully. Church, listen carefully. But Jesus was meek and humble in spirit. Could only criticize and condemn. But Jesus quick to forgive and forget. And the Pharisees offered the people no hope, but Jesus offered them not only hope, but everlasting life as well. So why wouldn't the people desire to follow Jesus? Furthermore, Jesus offered them the truth and the deliverance and peace and acceptance and unspeakable joy and miracle. He is more than enough. Along with many other blessings and privileges and opportunities and benefits, so why wouldn't folks want to get to where Jesus was? I wish that more folks felt that way today. But all too often, many people, their only desire was in the world has to offer. They love what the world has to offer. Verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, he saw the great multitude and was moved, according to the Bible, with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So Jesus filled in the gap for them. Jesus considered the scribes and the Pharisees to be a hireling and not true shepherds. They were simpler individuals who was in the religious business only for what they could get out of it. And many are like that today. But if it wasn't for the paycheck they were going to receive, they wouldn't be doing something, my friend, in the pastoral rank. Amen. Or preaching the word of God. It's always what is in it. I thank God I never had a spirit putting my hand out trying to get something. Why would I do that when God is enough? Church, I dare say that there are problems many who stand in the pulpit all across this country who have little concern about the sheep. There are pastors who fail to prepare to teach and preach God's holy word, who are not living a dedicated and committed life for the Lord, There are many who dread for Sunday to come, for they have lost the desire to minister to God's people. There are many who fail to stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of the sinners. There are many who neglect their personal devotions of Bible study and prayer. In this time in which we live, church, listen careful. Listen very careful. I dare say, there are those who limited or restrict the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their service. What a shame and disgrace. Jesus had great compassion for these sheep that were assembling in that place that day. For he knew that the Pharisees had not been a true pastor to those whom he had assigned to them. Therefore, they had been, my friend, starving for the word of God. Hallelujah. Some churches will never call the word the Holy Spirit. They don't do that. They said, no, that the Holy Spirit is not around now. There are another group of people, they will never say, I'm talking about preachers, they will never say that God is a healer. They will never say that God is a restorer. There are those who will never say God will forgive a sinner. They will never say God will forgive you if you sin. He'll forgive you, but you have to be responsible for the consequences. Amen. And so I'm glad as I come to a close. I won't finish today. So Jesus began to give them some living bread. And he taught them many things. I'm glad of all the things that I know. For he knew that the Pharisees had not been a true leader. I dare say there are probably many folks who may sit in church and church pews today, but are never truly fed the manna from on high. They may hear sermons and speeches and illustrations and stories and jokes and books reports, but they are way off from the word of God. Let me tell you about this business about the word of God, that the word of God is different from what a lot of people tell you. You have to learn this for yourself. The word of God, church, the word of God, the word of God, it is a tool that God has given you to work with. This word here. Let me help you. When you are sick, when you are broke, when you are lonely, when you don't have no money, when you don't know how your rent's going to be paid, when you don't know how your car note's going to be paid, when you don't know where you're going to get some money for Christmas, read the guidebook.
Right.
And when you get to the scripture says, he'll supply all of your need, don't talk to your friends. Tell him, you promised me you're going to supply my need. Now I need my rent paid. I need some money from somewhere. Help me to go and get it.
Yes, Lord.
You said, I tried it and it didn't work. That's why it didn't work. You tried it. I believe it.
Amen.
And it works. It works. It works.
Yes.
I repeat, it works. I got proof here it works. If people work in the office will tell you, we don't, when we come to run short, have you ever heard me complain?
No.
Never. They said, we're short, we can't do this. Just keep praying. We'll be okay. Keep praying.
Amen.
Keep praying.
Amen.
And the reason I use the word keep praying, all these 7 years, I haven't had to drink this. 47 years, I've drank water. 47 years, I haven't pawned myself out and make people pay me to do something that they want me to do. 47 years. 47 years. I've seen the lightning flash. 47 years. I heard the thunder roll. 47 years. I saw sin breaking, dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But oh, he promised, I'll never leave you. Now, I don't know anything about you, but never for me, that means never. Never means that I'd be there when everybody else is gone. Never leave you alone. I felt lonely, but I wasn't alone. There's a difference in being lonely and being alone. Because every now and then I feel something pat me on my back and said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I've had to rock and roll, and I've had to cry at night, but early in the morning, he touched my heart, and I got up, and I can tell you, there's nobody like Jesus. He is God all by himself. He is in control. Early this morning, the sun rose, you wasn't there. Early this morning, the moon went down last night, and you wasn't there. But early this morning, he touched my body, and I got up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't want this year to pass out without I'm thanking him. Yes, he's enough. He's enough. Let me prove he's enough. When they took him to Mount, that hill they call Mount Calvary. They took him to the hill. He's enough. They put the cross on his shoulder. They beat him. He bled like I don't know what. They hung him up. Blood pouring down from his head. He's enough. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He's enough. And so, friends, if he could do that on Calvary, quit talking about your little old problem. Give them to him and watch him work it out. But you got to give them to him and believe it. He is the same God that he did on Calvary. He hasn't changed. And what I love him so, he says, listen to what God said. Put him in a grave. He comes up, steps out, and said to the world, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Who wouldn't serve a God that has all power in their hand? I said, God is enough. Trust him, believe him.